Your Locked On Stars, your daily podcast on the Dallas Stars. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome in to the Locked On Stars podcast. I'm your host, Kenneth Nash, joining you on this Friday. Talk about a big-time Stars win over the Chicago Blackhawks Thursday evening. The Stars knock off Chicago 5-1. It was a game I'm not sure a lot of us knew that the Stars had in them. Stars fairly dominant. I won't say dominant, but fairly dominant from start to finish. We're going to talk about that on today's show. Implications for that as we move into the weekend. The Stars have a couple more important games coming up against the Panthers and the Predators. Today's episode brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app. Join me this week, Sunday, 4 o'clock Central Time, to get in on the action. Locker Room, changing the way that we talk sports. Let's dive right into today's game, probably Thursday's game, that is. So you're listening to this on Friday. Stars beat the Chicago Blackhawks Thursday night, final score 5-1. And it was probably one of the more complete games we've seen the Stars play so far this season. The Stars took an early lead in this one, not quite halfway through the first period. Roope Hintz on the power play, fed from Jamie Benn. Good goal from Roope Hintz. He keeps his he just keeps ticking right along, as we know he can. Jamie Benn, with the assist, picked up his 400th career NHL assist. Big deal for the captain. Made it 1-0 Stars. Then Chicago would answer about 4 minutes later, 5 minutes later, actually. Dominic Kubalik would make it 1-1. It was a nice work, really. The goal deserves a lot of credit from Vinny Hinostroza, who did some dirty work down in the corners, won it back, saw Kubalik's trick into the net, and just beat Ty Dellandrea, who couldn't quite get a stick on it. Kubalik able to come in from the backside, just a little tap in for him. Made it 1-1, but the Stars answered in a big way in the second period, probably one of the best second periods we've seen the Dallas Stars play so far this season. Jason Robertson, just a slam dunk, doing the work in front of the net on an assist from Roope Hintz. Gets his ninth goal of the season about a minute 15 seconds into the second period. Made it 2-1 Dallas. Stars looked fairly in control from there on, but then Miro Heiskanen on the power play, we get his sixth of the season, just uncorked a shot from the point, beat everybody 14 minutes into the second period. Stars would lead it 3-1, and then Blake Como would get his first of two goals with a little over 4 minutes to go in the frame. Assist from Andrew Cogliano made it a 4-1 Stars lead, and then 50 seconds into the third period, Como from Hintz would get his second of the game, third of the season, seal off a 5-0 win for the Stars. Stars would shut up shop a little bit from then on out. They were outshot late in the third period, but coast to coast, puck drop to final horn, as you've heard me say a couple of times, the Stars were the better team, and this was a big win for Dallas. After dropping Tuesday's game against Chicago, Stars had fallen 5 points back of Chicago in the playoff race, 7 points back of an actual playoff spot behind Nashville, and falling, losing to Chicago again would be disastrous. They'd be 7 points back in Chicago. Nashville absolutely breezed through Detroit 7-1 on Thursday, so they'd have fallen further behind behind Nashville. You'd be talking 9 points out of a playoff spot with Florida on the horizon this weekend. And the Stars absolutely went out there and they delivered the game they needed to play in this one. We saw some changes, some different line combinations in this game, just trying some different things out before the game. It was in line when they did like the lines and warmups, and you got the tweet outs from all the local media. It came out that the Stars were kind of shuffling things about, and one of the big changes was that Jamie Benn would be playing as a center for this game, and just try to make some adjustments there. Jamie Benn skated as a center for parts of this game and started out that way, just trying to jumpstart things. He started on a line Jamie Benn with Tanner Kerr, Dennis Gurianov, Kerr on his left, Gurianov on the right. We have been seeing Benn, Gurianov, and then Dickinson, Faxa. Of course, Dickinson was out, but with some of those guys. move him inside to the center position, get Caro on the wing. It worked well. I thought that line looked pretty good. Of course, Jamie Benn picks up an assist during the game. You had Robertson, Hintz, Pavelski. That line stuck together. Cogliano, Faxacomo, they were reunited in full. And then Rhett Garner, Ty DeLandria, Joel Esperance with Ty DeLandria playing a lot of center, which he can do. And it was interesting. Listening to the broadcast, they were talking about the reasoning for doing that was partially because the Stars just they need to win more faceoffs. They're not a great faceoff team, especially with Dickinson out, Sagan out. That you know those are some guys that are really good in the faceoff dot, and they were losing a lot of faceoffs. So they make the adjustment, get Ben to the center, get him some faceoff opportunities. Same with DeLandria, and just kind of you can control the game so much better when you're winning faceoffs with regularity. And that's exactly what the Stars did. 58% of faceoffs won by the Stars. The power play was a big deal as well. Stars go 2-for-3 on the power play, and did it a couple of different ways. The first one, the first power play goal from Hintz was really good, just kind of working the puck around till something opened up, and then the other one showed the what the Stars can do with their talented defensemen and Miro Heiskanen just letting one fly. So the power play was a big part of this game. Stars were physical. Stars blocked shots. Stars played hard, and I think that's key number one. And I've talked about, you know, when I see the Stars not playing hard right now, I have a hard time, you know, chalking it up to complacency or laziness or a lack of effort. I chalk it up more to just the circumstance, right? Playing as often as they're playing. They're playing every night, it feels like sometimes. You know, they're play hard played actually every other night. You know, you talk, I feel like I kind of chalk it up to that and injuries and just kind of the general kind of, you know, morale can't be great for this Stars team because of everything they're having to fight through. And so when you see them play hard, it really is nice. And they're, you know, it shows that there's still something there. Now, whether it's a playoff team or not, I don't know. But it shows that there's still something there. The Stars that we see on the bad nights is not what this team is in totality. This team is a good hockey team. They have some bad circumstances going against them. But they came out, they performed well against Chicago. Picked up a big 5-1 win. That is huge. I mean, to go and beat Chicago on the road, not just beat them, but beat them handily with ease, score 5 goals. This is a game, a type of game Dallas has not played very often this season, and certainly not against teams, you know, above them in the standings. So very, very good performance for Dallas. They moved to 6th in the division, 38 points in 38 games. They jumped Columbus, who has 38 through 42. So now they're just 3 points out back of 5th with 3 games in hand on the Blackhawks, and 7 points still back of 4th with 3 games in hand on Nashville, including a date with Nashville coming up later this weekend. Let's step aside real quick. When we come back, we'll talk about some individual performances, and then we're going to wrap up, talk a little bit about circumstances for the Stars and a little bit of trade updates. We've had a flurry of trades. I think I said I was going to talk about it yesterday at the end of the show, and we ran out of time, so just kind of run through a couple of trades that have come across the wire already here over the past couple of days as we gear up for the NHL trade deadline. Before we step aside, BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football may be over, but the NBA and NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. They've got real-time updated odds and props for almost anything you can imagine. They got you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. The best way to place your bets, it's free to sign up. Head to the website, use your mobile device today to sign up, receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit when you use promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Back here at the Locked On Stars podcast, watch our live trade deadline show Monday, April 12th at noon Eastern at Locked On Live on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Twitch, and the Odyssey app. The only place to get in-the-moment reactions and analysis on the NHL's biggest trade deadline moves from local experts covering their teams. Follow at Locked On Live today to watch the Locked On NHL live trade deadline show Monday, April 12th at noon, beginning at noon Eastern. Real quick, I want to talk about some of the Stars individual players, guys that are just continue to have really, really nice seasons. And, you know, even despite the odds, this Hintz and Robertson and Pavelski's in there too, but Hintz and Robertson, I think kind of, you know, they get the energy going a little bit more just because they're young and you want to project out that future. But Roope Hintz had a 4-point night last night, 1 goal, 3 assists. Jason Robertson scored another goal. Those two guys in particular really continue to they really continue to grow and to kind of show what the future could hold for them in the Dallas Stars. I think both of them, you know, Roope Hintz came into the season with kind of some expectations of what he was going to be this year and beyond, that he was going to be a large contributor this year and longer, you know, down the road. He's an important piece for the Stars team. But he's turned into one of the Stars' top forwards, if not their top forward this season. No slight to Joe Pavelski, who's got 35 points in 38 games, but feels like Roope Hintz is outperforming that in a weird way, just because he changes the game so much when he's there. And then Jason Robertson, who comes into the year battling for a lineup spot. You know, he's not starting at the beginning of the year. It was going to be, you know, he was kind of on that fringe, and then injuries kind of propelled him into a role, and then he kind of forced his way into a bigger role. Jason Robertson now has 25 points in 33 games as a rookie. He's been phenomenal. You look at those three guys. We'll throw Pavelski in there too, because he's been unbelievable. It's just, he's been unbelievable all year, and we see him every single night. So I guess the luster has kind of worn off a little bit. But that line really is the difference between the Stars being where they are and being where the Red Wings are, right? I mean, that's what we're talking about. That's the ability that line's shown this season, and they've really only gotten together, you know, here over the past couple of weeks. They've kind of been doing this independently of each other on different lines, but now that they're together, they're a problem. They're a huge problem for teams. You've got the speed and kind of craftiness of Roope Hintz, and just the dude's such a great skater. You've got the veteran savvy, the hand-eye coordination, just the know-how of Joe Pavelski, and then Justin Robertson complements it. No, he's not the skater Roope Hintz is. No, he's not a veteran, but he's creative, he's intelligent, and he is just a pit bull when it comes to winning back pucks, driving towards the net, trying to make things happen. He's got good hands, and they complement each other really, really well. And this is kind of the reason, these guys are kind of the reason you look at this year and then you go, okay, maybe you can bounce back next year, even if things don't go well with regards to getting into a playoff spot this season. It's because those three guys, you're confident that they can replicate what they're doing next year. Is Roope Hintz a point per game player moving forward? Maybe, you know, but I don't think he's far off of that, even if he drops off a little bit. Jason Robertson, I think he could be potentially a point per game player down the road at some point, but even, you know, I don't think it's too, you know, too big of an ask to ask him to put up somewhere in the neighborhood of what he's doing next year. And then Joe Pavelski, same kind of thing. I think he's probably outperforming a little bit, but next year, I don't think it's a big ask. I don't think you're going to see huge drop-offs from these three guys. So you talk about getting some of these other guys back, Sagan, Radulov, Kiviranta, Bishop, but, you know, we're talking about the forwards right now. Those three guys, that's a line in and of itself, right? But it just, that's where the hope, I think, lies with the Stars, and why, you know, we've talked about the deadline. I don't expect the Stars to really do much at all. But I think where the reasoning behind that is because they can look at this and go, the top line's there. We've got an entire second line, three, you know, at minimum two top six forwards. If you, Kiviranta kind of bounces back and forth, he's played some top 6 minutes for Dallas this year. But we've got two top six forwards out that haven't played in a long time. Kiviranta's a fringe depth forward. I think he's probably a fourth line winger, but he's a good forward. I think he's a good fourth line winger. He's out. You know, you're talking about, you can completely reshape your attack by the guys you're going to get back maybe this year, but for sure, you know, by the beginning of next season, healthy 100%. So I think that's where the reasoning for staying where they're at and just kind of writing this out lies, is because I think if things go the way they're expected to go, you get those guys back. You're getting a whole new line in, and we're talking about a couple of top six forwards. Now it opens up the window. You can, you know, Sagan, Radulov, Ben. That's not out of the question. If you want to move Ben around, you don't want to go with that group. Ben, Sagan, Gurianov can go out there. Kiviranta, Sagan, Radulov, and Ben can skate, you know, with Dickinson and Gurianov or you know, whatever. You know, you can really start to mix and match. You could have a fourth line of Kiviranta, Dickinson, and Gurianov, right? You can really start to mix and match some of these players, and I think that's where, you know, that's what, if there's an exciting part of this, it is that I think the forward depth for the Stars is in a way better than it was last year. The problem is they're all injured, right? And so we have a tendency, and I'm guilty of it to an extent sometimes too, when teams get hit with these injuries, we talk about a lack of depth, right? But let's be truthful. You go to pretty much any team in the league, save for like Tampa Bay, you know, those kind of teams, the elite of the elite. You look at most teams in the NHL, if you took two top six forwards out of their lineup and you took another impactful point-producing forward and their number one goaltender out, they would probably not be anywhere close to what they should be, you know, should be in terms of, you know, wins and production and everything like that. I mean, it really is a different team, a team changing kind of players that are coming back for the Stars. And so the skinny of it, the short of it is, I think Robertson, Henson, Pavelski have really added, I think, some optimism for this from this internally for the Stars for next year, because I think they were looking at next year already and going, you know, even before the season started, you know, Sagan's out, that sort of thing, but you're kind of going, where do we need to go? Because we need to bring some forwards in that can produce, right? We need to bring somebody in top six that can come in and be a catalyst, because we don't have it. We've got some fringe top six, you know, guys who are like our fifth or sixth best forward kind of quality. We don't have the 1, 2, 3 kind of guys right now. You know, especially if there's not really any drop off, Joe Pavelski is a top lane forward for a lot of teams in the NHL, the way he's producing. Same with Roope Hintz. Jason Robertson's not far behind. Jamie Benn then becomes your fifth or sixth best forward. Tyler Seguin, you're talking about, still a top three forward on this team. Radulov's fifth or sixth. So, I mean, that's where the excitement, I think, comes from, is these guys have pushed other people down the depth chart in a good way by breaking out in the way they have. I was reading through that list earlier. Or going through that idea, I didn't mention Ty Dellandrea at all. Didn't mention Ty Dellandrea in that reshaped line. And you're looking at next year, if you're projecting out next year's line, I think you can comfortably go Robertson, Hintz, Pavelski. There's one. Let's go Ben, Sagan, Gurianov. There's two. Kiviranta, your fourth line, not checking line. Kiviranta, Dickinson, Gurianov. There's three. And then your checking line, Cogliano, Como are leaving. Fax is still there. Dellandrea can go on that line. I think he could be a winger on that line. So you're talking about one role that you have to fill from your four lines next year. I think those lines are a playoff line. Maybe not, you know, favorite Western Conference favorites next year, but I think those lines are more than adequate to get you into the playoffs and make a little bit of a run. So I think that's the optimism, and it's kind of changed. This was not where I was planning to take this little B block, but I wanted to kind of dive into some of the reasoning, because I've seen, you know, the Stars are going to stand pat. They're not going to go get anybody this trade deadline, and they're probably not going to sell off really either. And I think there's a lot of people that they kind of want, fans want to see teams do one or the other, right? They want action. It's understandable. I'm the same way with other teams, right? I want action. I want my team to do things, whether I want them to get better now or be trying to get better down the road if they're not going to be able to get better now. The Stars, I think, view themselves as a team that they don't need to get better right this second, because the season is kind of lost more or less, and they're good for down the road. They're not the Red Wings, right? They're not rebuilding. They're just incredibly, incredibly beat out. So that kind of took a turn from where I was trying to take it, because I was going to talk about Robertson and Hintz mostly, but it kind of sparks that, right? Just how deep this line group can be, these four lines can be when the Stars are fully healthy. Let's step aside one more time. We come back, we'll do a little quick trade refresh on some of the deals that have gone down here in the past couple of days and wrap up this Friday episode. Before we step aside, Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar on the market. They've got unbelievable flavors, 18 unbelievable flavors. They got more than that, because they've got so many. They've got crisp bars now. They've got puff bars. They got like a marshmallow-like consistency on the inside. They've got bites. They've got boost. Their drinks, you know, their drink mix. They've got so much stuff. All of it tastes great. This stuff is, the bars in particular, though, they're covered in 100% chocolate. They're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. If you're on the keto diet, these bars work for that. Peanut butter bar, a favorite of mine, 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, 5 grams of net carbs. Go to BuiltBar.com, try them out for yourself. Use promo code LOCKED15, get 15% off your next order. Promo code LOCKED15 to get you 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Back here at the Locked On Stars podcast, be a waiver wire winner with daily fantasy hockey advice from Locked On Fantasy Hockey. Fantasy hockey expert Scott Cullen gives you the tips, insights, and analysis for season long, dynasty, and DFS leagues. Follow the Locked On Fantasy Hockey podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Let's wrap up the show. I want to run through a couple of trades that have gone down here in the NHL over the past couple of days. Real quick, the Stars, obviously, they have two games this weekend. They've got Florida on Saturday afternoon, then Nashville Sunday night. Big games. The Stars need these games are need to win, just because the Stars have to find their way back into the playoff race. 7 points down in Nashville. You got a chance to play Nashville head-to-head. Conceivably, you could be 5 points back in Nashville by the end of the weekend. That would be optimistic. But even if you can just keep it 7 points and just chip away at it, I think that's favorable. Big, big games on the horizon for the Dallas Stars. Let's dive into a few of these trades that have gone down here in the past little while, or past couple of days, rather. There was a trade today that went down regarding the Columbus Blue Jackets in the Central Division. They sent Riley Nash to the Toronto Maple Leafs for a conditional 7th round draft pick. Riley Nash has not been a huge factor for them this year. Columbus is going into sell mode right now. They're not selling everybody, but they're selling some of these players that are on expiring deals or that are kind of cluttering things up for them. So the Leafs get a bottom six kind of guy in Riley Nash, not been very productive this year, but he's a low cap hit, and it's a pretty minimal pickup because it's a 7th round pick, conditional. I think it moves to a 6th if some small things, some small notes or checkpoints are lodged. And more Blue Jackets news. Zach Werenski's out for the rest of the season with a sports hernia. That's a big news. Columbus is kind of doing what we talked about the Stars maybe doing if things go poorly this week and next on Thursday's episode, which is kind of shutting things down, not selling, but shutting things down a little bit and not trying to rush guys back. Just be careful and make sure you're ready to go next season. It's been a weird year. Columbus has kind of had a weird year too. And so just trying to make sure that they're ready to go for next season, I think is probably part of the direction that they're trying to take things. Some other trades that have gone down here over the past week or so. We talked about Vinny Hinostroza being on the Blackhawks. He was moved to the Blackhawks from the Florida Panthers in exchange for Brad Morrison. The big trade so far that's kicked off these little, there's been three trades here over the past couple of days, past 3 days. New York Islanders agreed to acquire forwards Kyle Palmieri. He was a big, big fish at the deadline this year. And Travis Zajac from the New Jersey Devils, pardon me, for A.J. Greer, Mason Jobst, a first-round pick and a fourth-round pick in the first-round pick 21 draft, the fourth-rounder in the 22 draft. So Islanders get some needed depth in Kyle Palmieri and a guy who can take on a bigger role. Palmieri, 17 points in 35 games this year for the Devils. Not a bad pickup for the Islanders. Chicago made another trade with Florida yesterday. They got Brett Connolly and Henrik Borgstrom and defenseman Riley Stillman for a 7th round pick this year. And they got a 7th round pick. Let me read through that again. Brett Connolly, Henrik Borgstrom, defenseman Riley Stillman, and a 7th round pick this year for Lucas Carlson and Lucas Walmark, a forward and defenseman. So Florida trying to kind of beef up depth a little bit, and they shaded. That was really more about shedding salary than anything. It did open up some cap space for Florida. And I did see somebody note that this does kind of put them somewhat in play into the Taylor Hall discussion. They want to try to make a move for Taylor Hall and really make a run at that. They've been, you know, they're in that situation where I think they caught fire a little bit faster than everybody thought they would, and they've been better than everybody was anticipating. So are they going to try to capitalize on that in this little lightning in a bottle where they really could end up being the one seed out of the Central Division if they continue to play well? I think that's going to do all for this episode. We'll be back Sunday afternoon on Locker Room, and then we'll be back Sunday evening / Monday morning, kick off next week with a couple of game recaps from this weekend, the Stars, Panthers, and Stars Predators. Until then, follow us on Twitter at Locked On Stars. Follow our personal account as well at Kenneth_Nash19. You can follow us wherever you listen to the podcast, Locked On Stars, so we show up in your feed every single day. That's going to do it all for this one, though. Thank you for tuning in. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the game tomorrow. Enjoy the game Sunday. We'll be back on Locker Room Sunday afternoon. Make sure to tune into that. Follow me there at Kenneth_Nash19. Same as my Twitter handle. Until then, though, have a good weekend. Stay safe. Talk to you soon.
Your Locked On Stars, your daily podcast on the Dallas Stars. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.